tell how he feels about it. Authority by command, authority by influence kind of thing, and you know, you can't make somebody do something. And so, you know, and they carry a level of authority. Even in his life, they carry a level of authority. They've known for years he did. Talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. 1 Corinthians 12:28 talks about the alignment of those. And this first apostle, second prophet, third teacher, it leaves out the pastor, it leaves out the evangelist, then it has administration, and it has tongues, and it has interpretation. Things in there. In 1 Corinthians 12:28 really is a passage about really who ought to be an elder in the church. It is a whole scripture on alignment and who carries the authority to sit really in the position of the elder. And typically, the reason you don't most men just think, you know, they're really their gift is about living souls, but it's really not. The whole Ephesians thing is the Ephesians passage is that all of those are gifts to the body of Christ for equipping the body of Christ. So it doesn't mean you do it for them. It's really a gift of equipping people in those areas. So most people who are called evangelists perfect from the soul, but they really don't do a whole lot about advancing the kingdom of God. And very few evangelists I've ever, those who are called evangelists, very few of those I've ever met will really do any kind of equipping and raising people up, you know, in a church. And, within the church is both the local body of the full of the church, but it is also the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. And so we really need to be about that. And then the pastor is not on there, and I think foreknowledge kind of knew how things were going to play out, but the pastor really taken on a whole different concept of what scripture really meant for it to come on. And there's a 99-1 principle, and there's a 1-99 principle in scripture. The pastor will do the 1-99. You know, remember the passage about the sheep? 99 that are there, but one that's lost. But who goes after the one that's lost? And who's taking care of the sheep? Well, the pastor's gone. Well, the pastor isn't. He left. You hope there are other shepherds that are there, but there's no indication that they're there. But the difference is the pastor wouldn't look at it like this. She wouldn't look at it like this. But they would sacrifice the 99 to the one. So they really left the 99. But the apostle is the 99-1 person. He wouldn't give up the 99 for the one. And there's a difference in how they approach things because for the most part, apostles generally function three ways. They can overlap in different ways, but they either function as a general, an ambassador, or a prophet. So they generally kind of have one of those parts. Now, how many of you know who Dutch is? Dutch is very much a general. I mean, Dutch doesn't like people. Even if you're his friend, he generally doesn't like to spend time with you. And I'm his friend. I mean, I can call him right now and get him on the phone. You know, but you do something that I've done lots of things with Dutch and, you know, hosted him in a lot of meetings and he's done for me. When he's done, he's done. He don't want to sit around talking to people. I get a little better at that sometimes in ministering, partly because I picked up some spiritual funds and like to do that. But his thing is about war. When he's done giving the war plan, he's ready to move on to something else. So he really has part of the general. The other one is an ambassador. An ambassador is the kind of, in scripture, out of all the apostles, James was the ambassador. Remember in Acts where he called them all together? And they were having this big discussion on how they were going to deal with the Gentiles, how the Jews were going to deal with the Gentiles. And so they called them all together. They all had this discussion. And after the whole thing was done, then James sums it all up and basically said, and this is the way we're going to do it. So he's the one, the ambassador is the one that has the gift to call all apostles horizontally together. They're more horizontal. They're usually, there's a hierarchy, but they're peer, what we would call peer level apostles. So all the ones with James were basically on the same level that James was, but he had the anointing to gather. He had this gathering anointing that they had. And they recognized him as the one that could gather them together. So when all was said and done, they, out of influence, he gives his voice. So he's the one to say. See, Peter Wagner is like that. Peter can call and, you know, the whole nation, you know, apostles, well, the whole world comes together. John Kelly formed the International Coalition of Apostles and handed it to Peter because he knew that Peter had the ability to gather greater than James. tired, you bring it back to John. But Peter had this gathering enough upon him. Great teacher, great scribe, you know, read lots of books, but has the ability to gather. I have a measure of that on me. I also have a measure of general on me, but it's only when certain things are going on. The whole land warfare thing, because I have this whole thing about land and the war on land because of my Native American brother. So I can move into my general mentality of that function in that. But I'm not like Dutch. I don't, you know, Dutch is apostle to the nation. And he, you know, he's one calls, he can call the body of Christ for war for the nation. What I really care is I care about Father's heart. And a father in the apostolic, the core element of what a father does for sons and daughters is to watch for their soul and serve their destiny. Their soul gets out of line, they'll never get to their destiny. So a true spiritual father, and you need to understand there's only one true spiritual father, and it's the Father in heaven. But God doesn't do anything on the earth that he doesn't do it. We need to be a model of heaven on the earth. So the same way that he is Father, we're the tangible, physical aspect of that that is on the earth. And basically, a spiritual father in flesh on the earth basically just reflects the Father's heart. Well, the Father wants you to get in your destiny. He wants for your soul, not the will of your spirit. Spiritual father will watch for their soul and serve their destiny. Fathers, and I think a natural father, like the first time Mark discussed earlier, is that we didn't pay our dad to be our dad. You know, we didn't have to make him be our dad. We shouldn't have had a daddy to be our father. And you know, I mean, if we needed something, that's what he did. Well, the same thing with me. I don't beg. If they don't get into their destiny, I fail. If they fail in something, I fail. If they succeed, then I succeed too. Kind of thing. So if they fail, we both fail, and we both get up and we move on. If they come to me and they say something, and I say, throw up some stuff and we talk and we have our ways of doing different things, and they say, do we think that's the way I need to go? Okay. So the way they go is the way I go. I go with them. Even if I don't believe it's of God, it'd be irresponsible for me to tell them, not to tell them what I hear from God. But it's not for me to try to make them do it. So if they go their own way and they succeeded, then I rejoice with them. If they go their way and blame it, if you advance yourself, you can't stay. You'll never be able to stay on the level that you advance yourself to. And that's the point. It never makes it. But it takes somebody greater than you to get you to where you need to be. Now, this is an illustration. I've been around long enough to where I can fill the notebook. I don't write a lot of them now. And I can get 20 words. I've got 20 words that I'm going to, more than 20 words that I'm going to China, but I've not been to China yet. Okay? I've got all kinds of words about all kinds of things. But, let me tell you two instances. And this is about authority, somebody being great. Every year we have a spiritual Sunday meeting. Spiritual Dad lives in Fort Worth, now moved to Georgia. But every year we gather at Apostle Ron's house, and John Kelly would come. Sometimes Peter would come. But one day we were at Ron's house, and Kelly was in the big chair, and Ron was in the next big chair. We were at a break, kind of a snack at dinner, they have the authority, the influence, the contact, the ability to do all of that. Second time I got scared, this is what I got more scared than the first time I got scared. But you remember when the oil spill happened? The oil spill? Well, when the oil spill happened and everything was going on, I was at the beach and talking to Cindy Jacobs, and Cindy said, "We need to have problems." And she said, "We need to have a John Kilpatrick." I'm like, "Okay." So we called John. John's like, "Mark, meet me at Waffle House." John's favorite thing to do is be at Waffle House late at night. So we also do Waffle House late at night. So we meet at Waffle House, and then we go out and we sit in his vehicle, and we call. John doesn't think we need to do it on the coast. He thinks we need to do it later. But, you know, he's like, what else do you need to do? So, anyway, we parked and I get back to Birmingham and Cindy called me on the phone. Said, "We need to have this. We need to have it now." She said, "I know John's saying, but we need to have it now." She said, "Where can we have it?" I said, "Well, I think we need to have it in the capital." In the numbers, because it's the capital of the state, and it carries the government. She said, "Tonight you're going to go to another level." She said, "I'm going to make your name known across the world." She said, "I'm going to do for you what I did for Chuck Pierce." She said, "Nobody knew Chuck until I introduced you to the world. I was going to make you the world." And she said, "How did I feel?" Because the difference is, I know she can do it. And the whole thing about living in your life. The heart of the father does in that. And Cindy, you know, she's gender neutral in that aspect, but she carries, you know, that kind of heart. And she's able to do something. And you know the difference when somebody carries something that literally can totally change and shift your life. So, and there's a whole bunch about there and what they do and starting stuff like that. But the key thing is they function in three different ways. So if you're ever an intercessor for somebody that is apostolic, they're going to function pretty much in one of those three ways. And it could be a vertical apostle, you know, but they're going to be either apostolic or a father. Usually the fathers have a vertical apostolic means they're at the top and there are other people down, horizontal means they're peer level. But they'll function. And how you intercede. From there to the prophet, because there are actually a number of different types of prophets that are listed in Scripture. And I kind of give you the references to where they all are, but let me just give you the name and tell you how they function so that, you know, if you end up being an intercessor, and I've asked, and we don't really know, they haven't said, "Hey, gentlemen, you know where you've been," but also good in that when they invite somebody into the house and they become a host to somebody that's in the house. You're on their personal team, and you're interceding for them. You also intercede for what they do in the house. So you need to have an understanding of the kind of people who come. So when bishops here, he carries an apostolic anointing. So as you're interceding for him, you need to understand, well, how does he function? You know, in that, because that's how you intercede for him. Prophets in the house, you need to kind of know how they function, because that's how you need to intercede for them in that aspect, because you become an extension of Mark's faith, of their sessions of the house. So what they're hosting, you're praying for them, so you're praying for everything that they touch. So just like when you guys had Chuck and you had Dutch, you become an extension of Bishop, you know, to them. And they function in different ways. So the prophet, there are a number of different kinds of prophets based off of the words that are used in Scripture. The first one is a Navi, N-A-V-A. That is the prophet that bubbles up, or they stir the river. So if you're prophetic, now you may be prophetic, and a lot of your stuff is not prophetic, this will help you understand you did. But a Navi prophet is all of a sudden, it just begins to, like popcorn, it just begins to bubble up inside of you, and just begins to pop out of you. Or it's one of these things where it's a deep stirring of the river. Really get things going. And those kind of prophets, the Navi either is one kind or the other. They're like a little popcorn kind of thing. And you'll just see it just all of a sudden just become bubbling out of them. And you know, it'll work. Or it's this deep story inside of it. And it just begins to stir everything up that's going on. And all of a sudden it just feels like the river just. Started in the river that was once deep. And so they have to just stir things up in the spirit, which activates things so they can guide and God can do it. So that's a Navi. The next one is a Napa. N-A-P-A-P-H. Napa. And these are ones that they're kind of a proclaimer, but they're a proclaimer in the sense that they open up the heavens. So they really begin to come in and they have an opening of the heaven. Now Chuck has a part of this in him that when you're with him, the heavens begin to open. All of a sudden you see things that you're just like, well, how in the world do you see that? What? I've seen things that I've never seen. And they just have this ability to just open the heavens over you for things. And you get that kind of prophet with, you know, with an apostle or an evangelist. They can open the heavens and something begins to go. Boy, he and Dutch really does it so well. Chuck can open the heavens and Dutch goes to war with an open heaven. I mean, things begin to move. So they have this ability. When the heavens are open, all of a sudden you get a revelation that comes. It's deep. You know, it's just almost like straight from the Lord. All of a sudden, when you sit in that kind of environment, also in Scripture, you saw it and saw it. I've read that Scripture 100 times, and but now the heavens are open over you. They've opened, Dutch has been opened the heavens, and the revelation just comes in a whole different kind of way. The next one is Roeh, R-O-E-H. And it literally means those that see. Those that see. And these are really your seers. The people who and I have some of this when I move to the prophetic, when I'm with prophets, like if I'm with Cindy ministering, you know, if that mantle comes across and opens up and I'm able to do more. But I can say, and I've had open visions and things, dreamers fall into this one because it's all about seeing that are there. You have open visions, and open visions would be like all of a sudden the heavens opened and it's like a driving theater screen and it's playing out and everything's there and it's black and white or in color and it's like you're in the middle of watching a movie on driving the screen. Kind of thing. You're having open visions or you're having real dreams or you're just seeing things that are there. I mean, seers see angels, they see way back, I was doing ministry that had fears and anointing on them, and nobody was talking about musical. And the demons, the angels, you get a person who has this gift and nobody's helped them and put in this gift, they can be really mess with them. One of the girls was like a little fool. She'd walk in, she could tell you who's got a demon on them. I mean, she literally go around the room and go, where they're sitting, who they're attached to, you know, she sees them on people. She can say, well, there's angels here too. They're in there, but it scares them. I mean, you know, nobody's spent time to help her with it. So the next one is the Shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, means those that watch. These are your watchmen in the gate. You heard about watchmen at the carry level of 40, the gate is carry level of 40. The ones on the wall that are watching, you know, and I mean, they see. They have to see your side. But they're literally, they're watching. I mean, that is their whole purpose, to see. They're watching to see what's coming. And you get prophets like this, and a lot of times they kind of hang back because they're really watching. Watch and see how the Spirit is going to shift. They can actually take you beforehand. You know, they have this watching spirit over them, and they can sense the whole move of God, how it's going to move. And they're great at telling you, you need to be positioned here because God's getting ready to move, and it's going to come right through here. You know, you need to be right here if you're going to be in the middle of what's going on. And there's nothing like a move of God coming and you being out of place. Watchman is the person who tells you this is where you need to be. But they also watch the evil. They can tell you, you know, the evil's coming, it's coming. The next one is Chozez, C-H-O-Z-E-H. And this is a seer also. But this one, it means to see, to perceive, or to advise as one who has wisdom. So, when you see the whole spirit of wisdom side, spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge are all tied to prophecy. They're all tied to this type of prophecy. So this particular Chozez is the one who carries a measure of wisdom on them. They're like, something will come out of their mouth and you will go, wow, where did that come from? That was so deep. And it's wise. It could be wise beyond their years. And that could be years chronologically, but it could be years in the spirit. I mean, you get a young prophet that has this side of them, some things will come out of their mouth and you will go, that had to be a God because they don't know anything. So this one really ties to spirit wisdom. Word wisdom. And then the last one is the pure thing of a prophet. Now a prophet can be a noun that means everything, but then there's a whole side of a prophet that is tied to the whole spirit of knowledge. They're a knower. Now, for me, I move more knowledge side when I do in this, I move the wisdom side too. But I can get supernatural knowledge. The illustration for me is that I was with a group of men, we were all having a meal, and waitress came up. Every time the waitress came up, I got an angel. Waitress would leave, an angel go away. Waitress come back, an angel would go away. And all the people were in the spirit of, you know, moving into the gift. It just got the best of me, you know. So the girl came up, and I said, excuse me, I said, can I ask you something? And she said, oh, yeah, okay. And I said, does the name mean anything to you? And she started. I mean, just. without asking or anything, because word of knowledge, one name, opened the floodgates. And so she begins to tell the story about how she was fairly newly married, but didn't really know how to be married. Nobody taught her how to be a wife, and things didn't go well, and so she just left and got on a bus. And she didn't know how to get reconciled. She didn't know what to do. She didn't take a job. You know, she lived in a hotel, and she just take this job, and she, you know, and all because I called the name, the first name of the company. And so, well, that's not a phone. Well, we mentioned her, well, that's not a phone. Called him. They made up. She quit on the spot. We gave her a break tip and bought her a bus ticket. Our stuff, put her on the bus, and sent her home. All because God gave me one word of knowledge. And God will do that. Now, there's three signs of it. There's a sign of you're an intercessor, and you could be very prophetic, and you could be one of these kinds of prophetic intercessors. And that's a gift. And if you've got multiple people on a team that are prophetic intercessors, they can flow at things different ways. Just because they flow in a way that's different than you, you know, you need to accept their gift, and they need to accept your gift, and you guys need to learn how to do that. But also, at the same time, is that as you're interceding for them, what is on them? Because that determines how you intercede for them based off of how they function. That is that. Because you can't, if they're not apostolic, you can't intercede for them as apostolic. If they're not a prophet, you can't intercede for them like you would a prophet. They have somebody that's a guest in the house who is a prophet, you can't intercede for them like they were a pastor or evangelist, because you will actually hinder the move of God. Because there's a whole side of being an intercessor that you become an extension of the person or people who you are interceding for. So as God gives them and set one in the house, the vision for the house, you become an extension of that whole vision that is there, that is praying to get to be manifested. You guys need to understand that vision people perish. If you've got a gap of vision, especially in front of that team a lot early on until they really catch your heart and know what's there. Now let me move from that one to the pastor. This is a misnomer on how pastor functions. And we've seen a dramatic shift in this area of the pastor because of what God intended it for it to be, what it moved into being, and what is now coming out back to what God intended for it to be. Now, the interesting thing about a pastor is that the new wineskin is really coming back to the original wineskin of what God really intended for it to be. For a pastor is, there are two actual words. There's one word in the New Testament that has to do with the pastors being like shepherds. And that's typically the way that we see it. Most pastors in churches really don't even function as the overall pastor. They become more of a teacher. There was some pastoral duties. But most pastors just have this whole shepherding kind of mentality. Well, and in their mindset is, I'm supposed to watch the sheep. And I'm supposed to make sure that they get fed. That's the whole green pasture. I'm supposed to make sure that if they get their water, they're not thirsty. So we've got to find still water, just, you know, sheep can't drink from running water. You've got to find a special kind of water for them. And you got to make sure that you keep them safe. And if one disappears, we've got to go back to the room of one and make sure we get the one back in the pen. And I told you the difference between the apostles and the shepherds. The whole thing about most pastors, old school, is the pen is the church. Keeping them in the pen means keeping them in the church. That's the old school pastor. looks at it totally different. And I don't know about you, but my mom and dad have passed away now, but to the time that my mom and dad passed away, and the day we sold the house, I had a key to my mom and dad's house. Now, they didn't ever have a key to my house. But I always had a key to mom and dad's house, which means I always had entrance to mom and dad. So I always go back home. But mom and dad knew there came a time that I needed to get out of the house. The apostle knows the truth of death, and you need to get out. Some called to that. I mean, there are some sons and daughters, even in the natural, that stay close, and they're like a set son or a set daughter to the house, even in the natural. There are sons that go and visit with their fathers, daughters that go and visit with their moms and dads, and, you know, they're kind of, but for the most part, we move on with our own life. And even though they may stay there, they always have to keep the house. They're going to follow me on the life. And so, the whole thing about pastors in the old school was, let's just keep them within the doors. If they're leaving, then, you know, we lose numbers, we lose money, and so it's all about that. But in Scripture, and pastor does play a crucial role, that is in Scripture. But in Scripture, pastor is two-thirds prophet and one-third shepherd. When you use one of the words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that we use for the pastor, same word, one Hebrew, one in Greek, we use as a shepherd. And it's the whole side of shepherd and then keeping them. The other two words that are in there is, we go back to, remember the word roe that we used a minute ago? Those that see, it's the same word. Poema in Greek, roe in Hebrew, is the same word that means prophet, but it's the same word that's also interpreted for the pastor and the shepherd that is in there. And so what happens is, in the truest form of the word, is that most pastors need to be two-thirds of their function prophetic and one-third of their function of pastor. So the prophetic side, the seer side of the prophet is, in the pastor means that the sheep are under my care, and I need to be a watchman, I need to be a seer, I need to see what's coming, and I also need to see what's best for the sheep. So I need to see when they need different food, I need to see when we need to move to a new place, I need to see when the wolves are coming. It's a whole thing of seeing evil that is coming, and it's also where we need to be to receive the move of God. And two-thirds of that is that whole seer anointing, and only one-third of it is the shepherding, caring side of what is there. Now, here's a great illustration. Do you remember the automobile bubble that happened, 2004, when all these first of the bubble, before the real estate bubble, all these car dealerships were going under, and people were losing their jobs, and the whole credit thing fell out from under that. Okay. Let me use that as a great illustration. You're a pastor, and you're functioning the way you like to function based off of the biblical perspective that you're functioning two-thirds prophetically and one-third. You're watching. And if you're a seer and you're seeing from God, if something's going to happen that's going to affect your people, do you not think that God will tell you? Now, remember what he said, was it Abraham or was it Moses that he said, it was Abraham. I think when he was going to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, can I do this that I don't? Do you not think that God would tell us? Now, if you have that pastoral and you function in the right way, and then two-thirds and prophetically, and you were a seer, and you were really watching for the things of God, and all of a sudden God is speaking and saying, there's getting greater. bubble in the heart. And a good portion of your people work in heart. Let's say you have 10% of your people. Would it really be neat if all of a sudden you could say, I heard from the Lord? That watchman in the palace, the seer anointing, the exterior, is in the past. God says there's Gideon in 6 months, there's going to be bubble. And I would advise to you, suggest to you, wisdom to you, that you might be looking for another field to live into. If you were in management, if you were a salesperson, if you were mechanical, if you were parking, I would move out of the car area into another area. And if they really knew that you functioned like that, and it was evident that it was there, and all of a sudden your people pick up and move over to because you're caring hard of what's going on, but you're functioning 2/3 in this area and 1/3 in this area instead of 3/4 to, you know, almost 9/10 of the area of shepherding and not really caring. And your people move over. How much better are we taking care of them? And how much more are we taking care of the body of Christ? Because now we've got people who moved into another job, still have income, they still can take care of their family, they're still giving into the kingdom. And what's going on? They're in good shape. We're in good shape. They're going, woo, Pastor, thank you that you heard the Lord and I heeded what you heard and I moved because you really were a seer. And what's going on? And too many of them don't function in that way. They're so busy in the shepherding side of taking care of. And they're hearing from God to teach, but they're not hearing from God to be a seer for what is coming for them to hurt them or help them on that side. And that's a great portion of what we really ought to do in that gift. So, and it functions on the same side with an interest. If all of a sudden you're interested for a person who is a pastor who functions in an old wineskin or a traditional wineskin where it's all about, you know, shepherding and caring for and going to the hospital, which we still ought to do all those things, you know, too. But you would interest for them differently than you would for a person who is functioning 2/3 and 1/3 as a shepherd. We really big time missed the whole pastor thing. Way down. Which means we teach you how to go to hospitals, we teach you how to prepare a sermon. We don't teach you anything about business, which is a whole other big side, you know, that is there, you know, on that. It's just different. So functionally, a pastor is a doorkeeper, a watchman. They are gentle, they are affectionate, they do are called to comfort, they are called also to warn. So they have a doorkeeper, they have a watchman side, they have a warning side, but they're also at a shepherd and gentle side, but it's 2/3 of one and 1/3 of the other. Now, moving from that one to the teacher. The teacher's job is to, well, they feed the flock, instruct the members. Big thing the teacher does, ought to do, but they don't do in the church, is that there's a divide between them and the prophets and them and the pastors functioning as prophets. I mean, think about a teacher and a pastor and a prophet and a real estate mogul. All of a sudden, you were in a house that you could sell in 2008 at the top of the bubble, and all of a sudden, you've got a prophet, you've got a pastor who's prophetic, and says, they're getting ready to be a bubble, and houses are at the highest rate that they could be. You could sell right now and make a whole lot of money, but getting ready to collapse. Now, I know this is 2020, hindsight now, we can see this afterwards, but if you're going to sold your house, and you don't have a house in spring of 2008, and you could have sold it at the highest rate that have ever been in houses, if you know then what you know now, would you? You in turn, within a couple of months, the housing market in Birmingham dropped 60%. I have a real estate broker here, so I know. So let's say you have a house, I don't care what you buy for, let's say you've been in it 10 years, bought for $20,000, went way up, you sold it for $150,000, and you can turn around and buy another house. Just sold the other house for, and now you could buy a house that's over $300,000. Would you not? And if you have a teacher that comes in and picking up on the word and staying current on what's going on and giving you the precepts, and these are the ones that come in and say, here's a revelation that's coming from the prophets, here's a warning that's coming from the pastor who has a prophetic utterance to be a watcher in here. So the prophets can. For years, that are, I in the city for 7 years, and every time I come down through here, I've seen it. Even to the point where I was like, somebody just needs to buy this up and totally renovate it and totally change it. It could attract a whole different set of businesses that are in there. And the buildings that are here structurally could be, all these downtowns could be remodeled in such a way that you could raise the whole economic. You have to do the capital. Now, I will tell you, the spirit of hell and death, which is the spirit that targets the evangelist, is at work to kill everything in the spirit. It wants it to die. And for the most part, I'm going to describe it to you from the outside. That was by matriculation of a birth. Okay. When's the last baptism because of a new convert? So why is there not an awakening? You look at some actual things. When you go to a place and you go, when's the last? I'm a storyteller. I went and did a blurb. This brings back. I had just a few minutes to go in and share with church. Kind of an African American church in a changing area of Columbus, Georgia. And my first thing to them was, when's the last time you had baptism in church? In 5 years. Every time church. You know, kind of, I had to go downstairs. I'm a whole lay of land. Last time, when did you buy the building out of? coming, the way from this territory, coming against the land. There's a personal side to this, and there's a cultural side to this. We're talking about the history. The whole Romans 12 thing, don't you spend a whole lot of time doing the Romans 12 thing? Because that's the redemptive gift. Every city has a redemptive gift. Every state has a redemptive gift. Every nation has a redemptive gift. America is a prophet nation. Alabama is a prophet state. Texas is a prophet state. Georgia is an apostolic state. I've done a lot of study, but that's a whole other people. You know, you find a prophet city, you also find an apostolic city that they're entangled with. Why did the march go from Selma to Montgomery? Because the prophets got always tied to the month. You're an apostolic city and a prophetic city. So you've always got the one's always got to tie with the other. Why? You gave the names of, the vertical names of prescriptive. But if use your first senses to hear from God, but we hear from God through our first senses. So, you guys need to find the schedule and then I'll work it on my schedule. I'm trying to rush it right now, so I'm home more than I have to. Actually, show the most of it. You're home? Land teaching is recorded. I don't know if the emerging college stuff is recorded. What happens in most of these in the last number of years is that I come and do something like this, and I never end up coming in to do the seminar. And so the last time I did the whole Redeeming the Land seminar was in Atlanta, Georgia. The recorded as a teen challenge. European. It's not so much white, the European, as opposed to the native. So when they teach warfare, they teach it from the native thing, and that can they teach it from. And so I give them, mainly what they get is a more in-depth teaching on the territory, which all I did is that the life of apostle, I haven't really given any teaching on that. So answer, the one shell we have from way back, and we haven't recorded any of these stuff. And so we're going to have to do all of these kind of things. You know, the changes and stuff. So they're giving me a hard time, and like they're saying, you really need to do this. I'm writing 7 books all at the same time right now. So, and I'm going to get finished, and I always have new ideas to start a new book. And then we have a computer crash and lost everything last year, so I'm rewriting everything that I wrote. So, no. I'll let you say no. And we have an advanced. The only thing we still have that we can get to, that we can still do with Eddie, is the redeeming language. Land, what you do. We have the basic and advanced. Do you have both of those? Okay. The advanced I did for the Nessus workshop. Oh, the Nessus can be Montgomery next week. Another question? Go ahead. You have a heart for intercession, and you have a heart for souls too. I mean, there's both of that on you. But and you live in a senior citizen complex, and I presume you rent there. So you actually have a legal contract that you sign to rent just like we're in agreement. Okay. The neat thing about that is that by having the rental agreement is different. You live there. For you to go in there, you don't really have any authority because you are not a renter to that. But because you are renting and you have a signed legal document, that means you have authority to be on the land that is there. So you can take that authority because you have it. And you can bring people in with you because one, they can't keep people out, but you can have people over. Other intercessors from the church, you could have them over. And, in the pray and come into agreement because you live there inside the lease, you have greater authority than I do. The only authority that I would have is the authority that you would give me to be there. Okay? So, and then the other thing is you've got to learn the principles of redeeming the land. The first one, I mean, you can continue to do that and you're going to see some results. But the greatest way to see some results. Redeem it back to the Lord so that you have an open heaven over it. Spirit's authority to move into it, which now causes an open heaven for the angels to begin to move, the Holy Spirit to get into it. That will give you greater movement, give you greater leverage. Your heart's there. You need to implement the heart. By the verse, I don't know how the veterans, the VA or the old veterans thing works. There's a certain level that you're a vet. You, in the situations where it becomes the military, you have a certain level of authority because you were a vet. You signed up to be in the military. You were either retired or discharged. You know that, but that doesn't discharge your spiritual authority that you have because you signed up. So the pastor's heart. I think a lot more pastoral work is done in the pews than it's done from the pulpit. Because really, the person who's in the pulpit's job is just put the text for the work of the ministry. I mean, they don't do part of the work of the ministry, but their job is to equip you to be able to do it. And you have a pastor's heart. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't have a desire to do it. The difference is somebody needs to help you with the implementation and maybe with training in and out of it. I don't even think there's a whole lot of training that needs to take place, but maybe somebody just come alongside you and could encourage you a little week you get it going, and you may be off and running on that. So I don't say don't let anything hold you back. But you remember the evangelist spreads the good news in such a way that revelatory light awakens the territory. And part of that means that the territory's got to be awakened. Once there becomes an awakening at that point, when you have an awakening, all of a sudden you won't have to go get them. They're going to want to know what's going on. I remember Brownsville. Here's a thing a couple of years ago in Selma, Brown's Chapel with Karen Wheaton and Lou Hinkle. We were at Brown's Chapel one night and their kids were just a bunch of kids and dancing and praying and hollering. And I walked out on the steps of Brown's Chapel. It was the sun coming out. And you, I don't know if you said Brown's. I walked out, people were coming out of the house, coming out of the complex. And we crossed the street, and finally, a young man walked out of the street and said, "What's going on in there?" It was such an awakening that was taking place in the building that was calling.
This time today is like an instrument that's beginning to cut loose and set free. And it's going to be a rising up, and life is going to come. And it's not a little life, it's a big life. Awakening is an awakening and a revival coming out.
questions about how we pray, when we pray, and how it looks. And all I know to do is just, I'm an example person. And then that's what we're going to do with Mark and Texas. The three of us are together, and we're praying with praise and worship. We do use praise and worship too, a lot of times in the midst of our prayer time. And so then Linda is very, very visual. She gets pictures and visions. And so I'm going to ask her, Linda, you see anything? She might say, well, I'm seeing a grasshopper. Well, words are my thing. The Lord works with me in words. I'm like, okay, well, grasshoppers are green. Well, Shelby then will go, well, green, okay. We've been praying for the bishop about finances. And I'm making this up. I would certainly be in secret. Praying for the bishop about finances. Thing leads to another. Before you know it, the Lord has us speaking against the spirit of poverty. See how it goes? And so it's just us bouncing off, but we're waiting, we're listening, we're asking, we're taking a chance. Grasshopper. Green. Now, here's another thing. Grasshopper, green, lamb. Drop the lamb and move on. That's okay. That's okay. You don't always nail it, but you need to speak what you're getting and see where the Lord takes you. Not rabbit trail, but see where the Lord takes you. And be open to it and be flexible with each other. There's so much grace here to make a mistake, to go the wrong way. And we do rabbit trail sometimes, but then the other goes, oh, here's the man. But it always matters, and it's always good. We all trust each other so much. We know that we're not rabbit trailing because we like to talk. So that's just a simple example of your gifting. It may be in visions or pictures. It may be words. It may be scriptures. Shelby gets scriptures one time. She'll go put out a Bible and start reading a scripture. Before you know it, we're just praying that scripture. Man, we're hammering down that scripture. That's our prayer. That's it. Not your cue. It's as easy as that. So that's, because so much of this would be a whole other. Then also, as Mark said, to activate. Please, come forth. Somebody get some plastic, will you?
Do any of you all have dream interpretation books? Okay. Do you have a book on the meaning of names? These are just resources. Where you look through dream books, for instance, you find out what a building, certain kinds of buildings, or transportation, or just colors, all kinds of things that really begin to help you unravel the grasshopper. Suggesting if you don't have some things, you might start building your resources.
And the Lord is not complicated, He's simple. And so it's like, where do you start? Well, you start with, Stacy's orange shirt. Blue jeans. So it doesn't have to be complicated. You can just ask the Lord, show me something.